When St. Thomas Aquinas writes about the birth of our Lord, he asks the question about how we could ascertain that this is truly God made man. And he points to several of the miraculous things that happened at Christmas. And one of them is that some of the oracles of the Romans and the Greeks were also saying to their pagans that God was going to become man. But of course, the biggest one is the day that we're celebrating now, the Epiphany. Because these three wise men, as we call them, came from a far-off country to find the newborn king of the Jews. And that just seems so ridiculous. In the ancient world, the kingdoms were very small. And so for these kings, these magi, these wise men, to come from wherever they were in the east and make their way to pay homage to a newborn king, and that they weren't turned off when they got to the palace and nobody knew what they were talking about. You would think that would have been their first sign to just go home. But there was something greater working. Because the Holy Spirit, in a real way, is behind the movement of the three kings. And in a real way, this should not shock us, because the Holy Spirit is the one who prepared the way for Christ. First, by his work in the Blessed Virgin. From the moment of her conception, she was conceived without original sin. And then when she conceived the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit, it was all done to make ready the coming of the Savior. And then in John the Baptist, who was cleansed from sin in his mother's womb, and he would go forth to be the voice crying out in the darkness, make way straight the paths of the Lord. And then even in the three wise men, what would give them the strength to persevere on that journey if they didn't think a higher power was giving them guidance? They recognized it in the star. It wasn't the North Star. St. Thomas says it was a miraculous show, a miraculous star that guided those three men to that stable, and then it was gone. And then they bowed down immediately when they saw Mary and the baby, and they did him homage. And when you do homage in the ancient world, that means you prostrate yourself on the ground. The Holy Spirit is behind all of it. And I think that's such a powerful thing for us to meditate on. You know, in a few minutes, we'll proclaim the creed and we'll talk about how the Holy Spirit will say that we believe that the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets. And in the Old Testament, that's absolutely true. Those men who the Holy Spirit inspired in a certain way to give warnings, to give prophecy, and to help prepare the people for the fullness of time. And all of the prophets were wildly unpopular when they lived. Many of them were killed by the Jews, and most of them died in total obscurity. But their prophecies were true. And so subsequent generations would recognize what Isaiah said, what Jeremiah said, what Micah said, and all the other prophets. And that was all the work of the Holy Spirit. And I mention all of this because the Holy Spirit is not done working. These things happened thousands of years ago. But every one of us, by our baptism, have been given the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is one that moves us. It moves in the depths of our heart to help us to become more and more like Christ. Just like he did with the Blessed Virgin, just like he did with John the Baptist, just like he did with Joseph, the Holy Spirit is moving so that we can have room for Christ in our hearts. St. John of the Cross says that's the main work of the Holy Spirit is first to scoop us out, to get rid of our sins, to get rid of all the things that keep us from having room for Christ so that there's room for Christ. And the Holy Spirit still works in us to help us to do what we should do as followers of Christ. While certainly there are saints and the prophets who had extraordinary gifts, and we don't all have those extraordinary gifts, but we do have the same Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will guide us. When St. Thomas talks about the virtues, he says that all of the virtues by baptism are in us through infusion. So faith, hope, and charity, that's the only way you can get them, is by being in a state of grace. And you can keep the first two even if you're not in a state of grace, but with no charity, there's no life in the soul. And then prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, those natural virtues, are raised to the level of supernatural virtues and put into our souls so that we can follow Christ faithfully. But then there's the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And every one of those gifts perfects one of the virtues, because we couldn't do it without him. Even the infused virtues need that extra strength of the Holy Spirit so that we live prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, and faith, hope, and charity. And it's good for us to recognize that we have the Holy Spirit. Certainly by baptism, for all of us who are confirmed, the bishop called down the Holy Spirit upon us so that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us. The main job of the Holy Spirit is to sanctify us. It's to make us holy. And of course, the first part of that is to get rid of our sins. Every time you go to confession, you respond to an actual grace of God to get rid of your sins, whether they're venial or mortal. If they're mortal, you need to go right away. But it doesn't just stop at removing sin. The Holy Spirit is still working to help us to take that next right step. He's the one who makes it possible for us to treat people the way we want to be treated. Sometimes we treat people the way they treat us, but you won't find that in the gospel. In the gospel, it's treat others the way you want to be treated. And then the Lord himself will say, not only to love one another, but to love one another as I have loved you. And we can do that because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today, when we meditate on the reality of the three wise men coming from so far, moved by the Holy Spirit, guided by the star, to give homage to Christ, it should be a reminder to us that same Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. But as the Lord himself tells us, he never forces us to do anything. There's a beautiful line in Revelation where he says, I've quoted this recently, I knock at the door of your heart, and to him who opens, we will come in and we will dine together. That's the kind of unity that Christ wants to have with us, and it's all possible by the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. Never forget that you have that power, just like Mary, just like Joseph, just like Peter and Paul. Maybe we don't have the same degree, but it's the same power, and it has the same goal, so that we have room for Christ in our hearts.